Hello and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for December 2014. December sees the shortest day, or the winter solstice, at 11:03 p.m. on the 21st. Thereafter, the sun starts moving slowly north again, and the days start drawing out. The moon starts the month full on the 6th, and thereafter wanes, or gets smaller, until the new moon on the 22nd. Now to the planets that are visible this month. Mercury is an evening object, best seen towards the end of the month, very low in the southwest, immediately after sunset. As always, be very careful if you use binoculars to look for it, in case the sun catches you unawares. Venus will become an obvious object in the evening at the end of the month. It will be the very bright object visible just after sunset in the southwest. Mars will also be about in the early evening sky to the southwest, in the constellation of Capricorn, just after sunset, towards the end of the month. Jupiter will be a magnificent sight to look out for all month at around 3 a.m. Again, an obvious bright object high in the sky to the south. Binoculars on a tripod will give great views of the four Galilean moons and possibly some stripes on the planet itself. Saturn will be about in the morning sky from around 5 a.m. to the south-southeast towards the end of the month. And of course Uranus in the constellation Pisces and Neptune in Aquarius are there to look at if you know where. Right, now on to something else. Meteor showers. December has one of the best meteor showers of the year, the Geminids. And these are their most active on the 12th of December, when you could expect around 100 meteors or shooting stars per hour. On Christmas Eve, there is another meteor shower expected, the lesser known Ursids. These are less active than the Geminids, but expect around 10 per hour. Meteors, or shooting stars, are simply pieces of rock, usually the size of a grain of sand, that race into the Earth's atmosphere and burn up, leaving a bright trail. Some very fast, and others quite slow. To look out for these meteors, find a nice dark location, wrap up warm, and take a deck chair, and settle down and relax, and hopefully watch the show. November was a great month for comets, or one in particular, the amazing comet 67P, which had the little landing craft Philae bounce onto its surface some 300 million miles from the Earth after a 10-year journey. The comet, which orbits the Sun every 6.5 years or so, will be at its brightest around mid-August next year, and may become visible in some telescopes. Now onto constellation watching. The prominent constellation of the month is Orion. Most people will recognise this pattern of stars rising in the southeast at the beginning of the month, rising a little earlier each day. As you look at Orion, you will see the bright Betelgeuse at the upper left-hand side. This is a very large red star that is about to go bang, having reached the end of its current stage of life. Now find Orion's belt, the three stars in the middle. Underneath the belt is a stellar birthing ground, the Great Orion Nebula. You will see a fuzzy area, and with binoculars you will see some stars, newly born, with gas still surrounding them. Right, now look at the upper right of Orion. Here is Taurus the Bull, the red star, Aldebaran, the Eye of the Bull, and a little further away from Orion, the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters, another of these birthing grounds. You should be able to see around 7 big bright blue new stars, which are only about 100 million years old or so, and the gas will still be around them. This is another eyesight test. How many stars can you see? Now look to the upper left of Orion and you will see 2 quite bright stars. These are the twins Castor and Pollux, the brightest stars of Gemini the twins. Incidentally, the Geminid meteors I mentioned earlier will appear to stream from around this point. Finally, look at the bottom left of Orion, better later in the month, and you will see a very bright star, and this is Sirius, the dog star, and this is the brightest star in the night sky. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. Another useful tool is, as always, a planisphere, which you can use to find out exactly what is overhead at any time and date of the year, and these are readily available from any good bookshop. Listen out next month for January's highlights. Bye for now.